Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
And literacy is so important because we know that it's going to help children succeed as they are navigating everyday life, whether they're going to a grocery store, whether they're going into a restaurant to need to order something, whether they're going to school to need to learn how to read and write, but go beyond that to listen and speak and think also. It's important for parents and teachers and all of us who communicate, especially with young children, to understand literacy and the concepts of literacy, of listening, speaking, thinking, and reading and writing, because we tend to be so judgmental if a child's struggling and learning to read, or if a child's not writing very clearly, to really understand and back up and say, wait a minute, what are their strengths and what are their needs in order to grow as a literate individual? And that's one of the things I think that's most misunderstood in terms of literacy is there are more aspects to becoming literate than being able to read and write, that we need to build a foundation. An example of that from my children's experience is just looking at our identical twins, Jeff and Trevor, and yet how different they are in terms of their literacy strengths and needs. When they were growing up, Trevor would be one that would talk, but you wouldn't hear him articulate or speak as clearly. You couldn't understand him as well. He had many more ear infections. He had some other kinds of things that interfered with the speech delay. Jeffrey, you could understand him from day one. I mean, as soon as he was speaking. But to hear them speak, Jeffrey's strength was speech, articulation, talking, being able to communicate, and listening was not Jeffrey's strength, it was Trevor's strength. And then reading, neither one of the boys were really enthusiastic readers until they started finding magazines about cars and things that they enjoyed. When we use the term assessment in education, a lot of people think that we're talking about tests. We're not. For the majority of time when we are guiding teachers to be good assessors, we are talking about teachers and parents monitoring the behaviors of children so that they can know what the child can do and what the child needs to do. And to be a good assessor means you're a good observer. You start with observing children and seeing and who they are, but understanding what literacy is as a teacher or a parent. And that's why I believe so much in working and talking with parents, because we need to know that literacy is listening, speaking, thinking, reading, and writing. It fits into our everyday lives. And you don't stand and deliver it. You watch it happen and you encourage it. That's something that I'm passionate about, that I really believe that we're not looking at strengths and weaknesses, because weaknesses is inferring that a child has a deficit. When it's not necessarily a deficit, it's a need, and a need can be translated into a goal that a child can be guided to achieve. And a weakness infers, and that's the deficit model, a weakness infers a child doesn't have it, may never have it, so you've got to compensate and help that child compensate. When, if you look at it as a need and a goal they can address, you can help them complement what their strengths are and become a more literate person. The concepts of print that children need to know are not just the words in the sentence or the alphabet A, B, C, but to show the models of how that happens, you know, to be able to show the children the different letters of the alphabet and to show them that words go from left to right. Those concepts to be able to see as you're saying. So many times we sing the alphabet song but never point to the alphabet as you're singing it. But if the children see that as you're singing or as you're saying the alphabet, you're pointing to the alphabet, they start to see that one-to-one correspondence. And that starts to help them see, oh, that's what you're talking about.
I-J-K-L-M-N-O-P.
The literacy that we are doing within our pre-K and Kindergarten Leadership Institute, which is funded through the National Science Foundation right now, is something that we're trying to demonstrate for teachers so they can share with parents how when you read a book, let's say about butterflies, and there's a butterfly alphabet book that we've used in our institute, if they can just see that, wow, they can learn about butterflies, which is about science. They can know the alphabet, which is about the ABCs. They can learn to count the butterflies, which is math. That it's part of all the things that they can do within their everyday life or within a book. So we have all these very gifted researchers working with us, and also as presenters who really communicate the link between research and practice, so that we're not just telling teachers these wonderful activities to do. CRLP is really committed to helping teachers see why they're doing them, to understand that it's not just because it's fun, but because it's linked to the California standards and supported by the most substantial research that's out there and the most effective and up-to-date research possible, and that we have those researchers coming to you as teachers to share that with you in person. I believe one of the greatest gifts we have are the teachers in our schools right now who do have so much knowledge and have a passion for working with children and want more information about how to make it better.
Why would you think that language is important for all of school success? It's obviously language is the basis of reading. Reading is a transcription of spoken language, so if you don't have a spoken language, reading is going to be hard. My research has always involved language and language perception, and in studying children, I'm interested in what makes a good reader different from a poor reader, and how can you push a child into the right path of being a good reader. Our research had shown that children in Santa Ana are below par for what one expects for their age. So with ABLA, our goal is to go into the families and help the parents learn to speak with the children and to build their communication skills. So we really are an outreach program for preschoolers that targets home-based language skills. What we're discovering lately with my work with Judy Foy is that preschoolers' language skills are very important precursors of their reading ability, and we're trying to define which of these skills matter. We know that it's being able to understand language, being able to articulate language, being able to name things, being able to have a sense of rhyme, being able to name the letters. All of these things together act as precursors of this phoneme awareness that will happen around kindergarten, ideally, and pave the way to learning how the ABCs work to represent language. So my work really carves out these skills as the precursors of reading, and then based on those, that knowledge of sort of what's different about a good reader, we can now look and say, all right, these are children in Santa Ana who are disadvantaged on their path to becoming a good reader. What can we give them? Letters and names in Spanish that will help them when they get into kindergarten know what reading is all about. Music and language and reading and playing are all part of what we're trying to emphasize in ABLA. As you read a book to a child, you can build vocabulary, you can build a sense of communication and language competence. But singing with a child can do that and more. Because what singing does, something like Old MacDonald's Farm in the E-I-E-I-O or Willoughby Wallaby, where you begin to take a name and play with it, singing begins to pull language into its two parts of sound and meaning. And that's very important when you become a reader later on, because the writing system in English begins from the child's perspective by representing sound. Later it also represents meaning, but it represents units of sound that are called phonemes. And to begin to pull apart the two functions of language is kind of the first step onto becoming aware of sounds and then aware of ultimately phonemes, which is absolutely what you need to succeed in learning to read. So I like music because it introduces the child to that. It's also a lot of fun just to sing.
Salió el sol y pronto lo secó y la araña pequeñita subió y subió y subió.
¡Yay! Oh, ¡bravo! ¡Bravo!
Oh, mío, no es el ña, 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 ña. Los bebés en el camión le hacen ña, ña, ña. Por la ciudad, por la ciudad.
Ahora mira tu mami,
las ruedas del camión van dando vueltas, van dando vueltas.
dando vueltas, así mover ruedas del camión, van dando vueltas por la ciudad.
Yeah. So as the child in Abla is learning to speak back and forth with his or her mother, maybe he's also learning how to count, learning how many blue blocks are there, how many yellow blocks. He is learning to know what sounds the different animals may say. What does a bear say? What does a duck say? He's learning to remember a sequence of sounds and gestures, like in the wheels on the bus go round and round. All of these things are organization skills, memorizing skills, counting skills, and cause and effect skills that are the beginnings of math and science. So as well as building the core of literacy, we build the beginnings of the other talents and the other educations that we will hope will begin to be the child's education in kindergarten and beyond. So we're really building a well-rounded child, because the oral language experiences are experiences with math and science activities that will promote vocabulary and thinking skills, as well as the precursors of literacy. The children are blossoming. They come in with very low language skills, but we're seeing after 2 years of treatment, children who are maintaining normal language acquisition in Spanish. That is, they have sort of like an IQ score in Spanish of 100, where the children in the community that don't have habla and are not being read to have scores maybe in the mid-70s, almost a 25-point difference. It's just incredible. We're very rewarded by that. And now, as our first clients from habla begin to enter kindergarten and beyond, we'll be looking, with the help of the Children and Families Commission, at how they do in school. And that's the real goal, is what happens in school.
Literature is a powerful, powerful thing to share with children, and it can bring really close, moving, special moments into families' lives and into the lives of classrooms. I would share wonderful stories with my kindergartners for years that drew us all together and brought us into a community. Do we want children to be literate? Do we want to help children learn how to read? Of course. And one of the best ways to do that, that taps so many of the aspects of reading that are important, is through reading aloud. Reading is a tremendously complex act. It involves so many different skills and abilities and insights and understandings. It has at its base understanding the symbol system that we use. Kids, any reader, needs to figure out how the symbols work that we use in our system, and in English and Spanish and many other languages, that's the alphabet. They also need to know how print works in general, that it starts at the top of a page again in English, and that it moves across the page in a left to right direction, and that we turn pages in a certain way, and that we hold a book a certain way. That's another insight that children need to gain when they become readers. Have experiences with kids. My gosh, this is what will really support them as they move on through their school years, to have to engage or to get to engage with a whole range of topics and texts. If they have built some of that background knowledge, take your kids on short trips, walk to the park, notice things, look in the grass, carefully dig through the grass to see things. So many experiences that we can offer children. Go to the museum, go to the bookstores, go to the mall, do something besides sitting quietly at home and watching television. So there are just all kinds of wonderful, rich things that we can do with our children in all those preschool years that build the foundation for literacy. Probably the single most important thing we can do is to read to our kids. Reading aloud to our children provides them with such a background in this whole act of reading. It builds their language as they hear those complex sentences. I often share with groups books that we're hoping kids will read when they're 11 or 12 years old. And gosh, if you look at some award-winning children's literature, the language is very complex. We talk about the cold getting right into one's bones. That's in The Ugly Duckling. You talk about the wind taking hold of the leaves and dancing them about. There's tremendous imagery, powerful language, long, complex sentences.
if we read to children early on, then they begin to gain a real familiarity with that language. Another entire aspect of that is building the sensitivity to the sounds of one's language. In English, and in many languages, what we record, what our symbols represent, are the sounds of our speech. And so to be able to notice those little sounds that make up speech becomes very important for kids. And so books that play with sounds. There are many wonderful books that play with sounds and silly, nonsensical kinds of things go on. Poetry plays with sounds. And that's just a marvelous vehicle to share a different style of language, but also build that sense of rhyme. Kids begin to hear that, and that can serve them well later. Where better, if I can't go to the Antarctic, where better to gain exposure to the Antarctic and to begin to build my background knowledge than through looking at informational books about the Antarctic? Where better to learn about the rainforest? If I can't take you to the rainforest, where better to learn than to pull out some books that share fascinating information about the rainforest? So informational books are really key to supporting literacy development in its largest scope. And that's not just being able to say the words on a page, but it's being able to have truly deep, meaningful interactions with those words on the page. If they haven't gained any familiarity with the symbol system, if they've never held a book and know how it works, if they don't know the kinds of messages that are communicated through books, if they don't know the pleasure that can be brought through books or through any kind of print, if they don't have the language, if they don't have the background knowledge to interact with books, then children enter schools at a tremendous disadvantage. What goes on in the homes in those early years influences a child's success in reading. And there's much that parents can do to support every one of those complex pieces of this act.
I feel like one of the most important things I've learned is how to integrate the literacy, math, and science throughout the preschool day.
I'm actually bringing science into my classroom, which I never did before.
I know what I need to do to help the parents.
I teach them the fun way. I teach them learning by doing, like manipulating realia.
Working through some of the activities is so exciting and rewarding that I can't wait to see what the effect is on my students.
My students are having much more fun learning and having the hands-on and really showing with manipulatives what it is that they're doing rather than just telling you or trying to do it on a worksheet.
There's been research done about scientists and researchers asking them when they first became curious about the world and starting on the path to being a scientist and a researcher. And almost to the person, everyone has started on that path before the age of 7.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.